not really a surprise to me. It's just confirmation to me, but I wouldn't mind taking your calls on it. 1-300-736-736. This program's about your calls, so I want to take your calls on it. Not going to spend too much time on it, but I really want to address it straight off the top because it is the biggest story of the day. But more so, I want to hear from you about it. 1-300-736-736. Rather than me line up, 15 interviews and talk about it myself with other people for the hour, I'd like to talk to you about it on 1-300-736-736, the open line for Werribee Kia, Australia's number one selling Kia dealer down at Werribee Kia. Check out their full range of, they've got a hell heap of sportages down there. Janan and the crew would love to see you. As I said, it didn't surprise me, the Polypharma story on the back page. It's a massive story. It's worthy of back page and front page. Don't get me wrong. It is a huge story, a massive story, and a story that would change the thinking of a lot of people. But I've already been a believer. I believe Greg Williams when he spoke out about his memory loss. I have believed John Platten. I've known John Platten just about all my life, played junior footy with him in SA, played with him and against him. He's a great guy, John Platten. He's not a liar. He's a man that is to be believed. And he spoke again this morning, but he's been speaking for quite a while now about his brain function deterioration and how much of it is due to the AFL concussions that he suffered. So I've always been a believer of these guys. And, there's been a lot of talk amongst AFL players about, depression and anxiety and memory loss and anger management, all these things. As I said with Jared earlier on, if you weren't with us when we changed over at the microphone, I've done the two-hour brain function test. I've sat with the doctors and done that test to check my memory, to check my ability to be able to solve problems. I've talked to psychologists about depression and anger management, all this kind of stuff that the AFL allows us to do as ex-players for free. So they provide us the opportunity. Not all players that played in the 80s got the opportunity. Well, they all got the opportunity, but not all of them did the two-hour brain function test because not all of them wanted to do it. But quite a few of us did, elected to do it to try and find out a bit more about it. And not all of us that are ex-players have spoken to psychologists and doctors like I have. I mean, I've spoken to a lot of doctors. Obviously, Hugh Seawood is still my family doctor, and he was my club doctor at Geelong. So I've got access to Hugh anytime I like, and I can sit in his office and just chat about where I'm at mentally and physically, obviously, because you walk out of the game with a lot of injuries. But 1-300-736-736 is the number. I just want to find out from you. There will be more of these findings. The more brains that are donated, the more that are analysed. If you were sceptical before, are you a believer now? And what's the solution? Because that's the bottom line. I mean, footy's a contact sport. So it's always going to be a contact sport. The bottom line is what's the solution? And as I spoke about on this program with David King a couple of days ago, saying what he said, Monday I said my future approach to this is simple. And it's been simple for a while in my head. And I think it's simple for the AFL. And that is they've changed the game to the point that if you elect in a bump to go for the man via a bump, with no ball-gathering intent, then you should get a long suspension. They have to try and get that out of the game. The opportunity for players that was once there to bump a guy, to come in hard and bump a guy to the head and take him out, that's long gone, and it needs to continue to be eradicated. Anyone thinking of playing AFL also needs to know the risks. You will get hit in the head at some stage, and you risk being concussed multiple times, and you'll do your knees and your fingers will get broken and your nose will get broken. But it all should be accidentally by someone going for the ball, not someone lining you up physically when you don't have the ball. And that's the delineation for me. I think it's an easy delineation for me for the AFL. If someone attacks the player with the ball with an intent to tackle and tackle the guy legally with an intent to tackle him and stop him with the ball, then that's fine. If there's an accidental head clash or a head gets hit in that instance in the process of attacking the ball, then that's fine. But if there's a head clash or an instance where a head is hit in an attack at the body and not at the player with the ball, but at the body of the player without the ball, then that's a delineation that's easy for me. You stamp that out. 1-300-736-736. And I think that's where Kingy was going with the Marley Williams situation. Let's go to your calls, 1-300-736-736. John in Greensboro, welcome to you, John.
Yeah, thank you. I just want, I've spoken to somebody about this, a medical person, and he explained to me why sometimes those findings are inconclusive. Now, a person that gets a hit in the head, who is a well person, somebody who, for instance, doesn't drink, doesn't take drugs, and looks after himself, the result of the hit are going to be different to somebody who's actually abused himself over a little bit of time, somebody who is a drinker, somebody who parties a little bit too hard. The same as the smoking researchers that they do, they don't really do the effects of smokers who are actually good eaters and athletes and so on. So it is still a little bit of a grey line to me, Dwayne, on a lot of those things.
John, you're absolutely 100% spot on. I spoke to the people that did the test on me. It was about 10 years ago. I went to La Trobe University and sat there with the clinical scientist and did this test, and they said to me post the test that a lot of the issues that people are looking at aren't 100% conclusively attributable to concussions, because your lifestyle is such a major factor, and whether you use your brain in your job, whether you're actually challenging yourself to use your brain in your job. If you've got a brain, if you've got a job where you don't talk to people often, you don't maybe talk to people and attempt other languages. If you, and I don't want to say some jobs have got less brain power than others, but there are jobs where you don't necessarily have to use your brain quite as much as others. And if you don't use your brain, and if you do drink heavily, and if you do take drugs, there's got to be repercussions for your brain, 100%. So there's no doubt whatsoever, John, that that is a factor in where you are when you're 50 or 60, as any person, not just an ex-footballer, as any person, where you are as you're in your 50s and 60s, brain-wise, is determined by a lot of factors, including your lifestyle choices. So there is no doubt whatsoever that lifestyle choice is a factor in this. But there is also no doubt, and has never been any doubt in my mind, and studies in America have now proven this, and that is that repeat concussions can have a major effect on some people's brains, but not so much of an effect on other people's brains. And that's the hard part right now. What does the AFL do? We talk about compulsory 1 week suspensions if you've been concussed, or 2 weeks out of the game compulsorily if you've been concussed. But I've spoken to a lot of doctors, Dr. Peter Larkins, Hugh Seward, a lot of the doctors that know what they're talking about, and everybody is in essence different. So it's hard to make a blanket rule that's going to be of benefit to everybody.
Yeah, look, it is pretty scary. But I suppose the good thing about it is that they're doing the research for it, you know, the awareness out there and that. So, I'll still be doing, getting checked up every year. So hopefully that, things can get better for us. It certainly brings back, you know, I suppose, a little bit of memories when you first started playing footy. It's a bit concerning, and the only way they can diagnose CTE is when you're dead. And, I want to know now if there's any problems in the future. You know, I don't want to know in 20 years' time.
John Platten on Breakfast This Morning with Gary and Tim. A couple of your calls, 1-300-736-736. Tim in Sunbury, welcome to you, Tim.
Hi, Dwayne. Thanks for taking my call. Look, I think we really need to start at the grassroots level. And I did hear an interesting comment from Terry Wallace just a couple of days ago saying that when players pick up the ball these days, they're going in head first. As with back when I played juniors, you were taught to turn the body to protect yourself. And it's basics like that that we seem to have gone away from that really does protect the head.
Yeah, because the AFL has sort of tinkered with the rules to the point that if you turn your backside into the oncoming player and you bump him to the head, then you are culpable. You get a free kick against you and you'll get reported for it. But if you go in head first and you just bang top of your head to top of his head, then there's no free kick, Tim. It's just an accidental clash of heads. So unfortunately, the rules are telling us to go in the wrong way.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it's something that the AFL really, really need to look at to make sure that I understand why the rules are there, but the players need to be able to protect themselves.
Yeah, and protect their head first and foremost. And that's the other issue with all of this. I think once upon a time you did have this thought that I'm not going to go into a contest, a collision head first. But now there's almost a reason to, because you're likely to get a free kick. Ash in Frankston, welcome to you, Ash.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to talk about the Aaron Hernandez documentary that I watched, which put me onto the CTE in the first place. The guy was 27 years old and had the mind, the brain of someone who's in their 70s. So it's a real worry. My son wants to play footy. He's only 4, and I'm a bit apprehensive now because, it seems to strike, the young. And it's not, you can't actually tell who's gonna get it, So it is a worry. Yep.
I think that's always been the case, though, Jim. I know it's the case now because of findings and front pages like we've had today, but I think it's always been the case. I remember, when I was a kid growing up, you knew that if you play AFL, there was a risk factor to it. You're going to get your knee blown out. You're going to, your fingers are going to get broken. Your nose is going to get broken. And you'll probably get concussed a few times. And you could end up, if it worst case scenario, in a wheelchair. You knew that going in. So do you want to take that risk or, do you want to play tennis? We all had that assessment to make as kids. And I think parents have all got that assessment to make. They had it then. You got it now. But I think the beauty of it, see, I grew up in an era where it was a violent game. It was a very violent game. You could get a punch in the head just for standing there and looking at a guy in the wrong way. So that's, at least the AFL has made it safer than ever. And I believe it's safer than ever to play right now. And if you've got any fears now, then that's fair enough. You don't play the game. But you should, in essence, as a 7-year-old kid, have less fear now than you would have in the 70s and 80s. Because back then, you had, fear was a huge factor in whether you decided to play the game or not. This is the lunch hour for Subway's Mediterranean range with 4 craveable flavours. The AFL will always be a contact sport. Take your calls, 1300 736 736. And on your speckled text, been some good ones coming through. I'll read a few out shortly on the speckled text. Speckled cash loans up to $2,000. Paid fast, 0433 98 11 16. You're with Dwayne's World. You're with Dwayne's World. Thanks for your company. It's always a pleasure to take your calls. And I'll take plenty more. Jim in Noble Park, Macca in Doreen, 1300 736 736. The open line, thanks to Werribee Kia. A few coming through on the speckled text as well. Hi, Dwayne. And there's quite a few and some really intelligent people texting through. And it's fantastic to have so many people texting through on every issue, not just this one. But hi, Dwayne. Let me start by saying that I played football for most of my junior life through my early 30s. I have a 5-year-old son and a 7-year-old daughter who want to start playing football this coming season. Findings like this inevitably put a shadow of doubt in my mind as to whether or not I will sign them up. Dave in Western Park. The interesting part, Dave, is this is a decision that has been made by people for decades. Parents, kids, do I want to play a contact sport? Do I want to play a sport where my head might be vulnerable? But we make these decisions in life in general. Do I go hang gliding? Do I let my 18-year-old kid ride a motorbike to work? All these kind of things. If they're 18, they can do what they like, so I have to let them ride a motorbike. All those kind of things are made as decisions by people over the course of time. They always have been, and they will always be. So football now is safer than ever in my mind because great doctors and some very intelligent people at the AFL have helped make it safer than ever. And they'll read reports like this and they'll continue to look at ways to make the game safer to play. But there will always be head knocks. There will always be ACL injuries. There will always be broken fingers and the propensity to get really hurt in an AFL game. But there's also that kind of issue when it comes to lots of other sports as well. So you decide, do you want to play AFL? Do you want to play footy and risk getting a knock to the head? And if you do get a knock to the head and you don't handle it all that well, you can always stop. That's your option you've got. If you're finding you're having issues, that's the option you've got. But as to me, the only way of making it safer is to stop players attacking players without the ball. So you stop the bumping of a player without the ball. And if they get them to the head, you give a hefty suspension. But to me, there'll always be accidental head knocks when two players are going for the ball and you just happen to arrive at the same time in the wrong position, and someone will get hurt. That's just the game. Noble Park, Jim, welcome to you, Jim.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
You've gone over basically what I was going to say, but I've got a bit of a different take on it also. As a young kid, when I used to play sport and played football, I was afraid of getting my head hit.
Yep.
I didn't know about the concussion, but I knew that it could be paralyzed, it could be this, could be that. There's some people that think that way and some people that don't. They don't think about the next day. They just play and they had more courage, we'll call it. But I sit here and listen to this topic now, and AFL now, and even it's happening in the NFL, they've got to play the role and they've got to say, look, this is what it is and we're trying to be better. It's all for insurance policies, so there's no class action happening in the future. But if we really want to highlight to kids and to parents how dangerous it is, I think maybe when their kids go to start that Vic kids that they play on the MCG, maybe they should go through schools and actually show people, because you can't really see concussion as a young kid. You don't get that.
Mm.
But you can get the fact that if you put your head down, you could become paralyzed. And if we're really going to take it seriously, to really put it out there and really disclose how risky it is, because concussion you can't visualize as a 5-year-old, 6, 10, 12, 15. But if you tell someone, you could end up in a wheelchair. So if we really want to actually act and the league really wants to disclose the truth out there, let's not talk about concussion protocols and all this. Let's talk about ending up in a wheelchair. So let's put that out there. Put it out to the mothers if the league really wants to be disclosing.
Jim, I know there's been some horrific cases where people have been put in wheelchairs after AFL collisions, but there hasn't been that many in the world of AFL. So, you know, I think the AFL has tried to make the game safer to the point that we haven't had that. I know Neil Sash is one that has ended up in a wheelchair, and that was a horrific story at the time, and it was a reminder to all of us as to, you know, whether we can make the game safer. But to me, the AFL has attempted to stop that ever happening in the world of AFL, and by filtering factors to stop it from happening at lower levels as well, because they've tried to clean the game up at the top and stop it from someone being lined up as they're about to go for the ball. You know, once upon a time, you would line up a guy and run straight through him and not worry about the consequences. They've stopped that, the AFL, and they've stopped it at junior level and lower levels as well, because you just can't do that anymore. And I don't think there are players anymore that go out with that mindset that I'm going to take a guy out, which is good. Everybody that goes out these days are talking about getting the ball rather than taking a player down. Macca and Doreen, welcome to you, Macca.
Hi, Dwayne. I agree with you totally, but I think when do we stop the sanitising the game as well? Because you think about how many guys have been knocked out with knees, but when guys are jumping into their head, you know, do we outlaw that as well? And I just don't know when it's going to stop. And how do you keep a contact sport safe and continually make it safe? Because it's going to happen all the time. And I'm really at a loss because, you know, I played the game as well. And you know that you can get hurt. And I've seen some horrific injuries, not just with the head, but broken bones and knees and whatever else. So these things happen. But how do we sanitize it when it's a contact sport? I really don't know.
You just choose not to play it. CTE, brain function degeneration, that's now one of the parameters of being possible if you play AFL. So CTE is a serious thing. As I said, this is not a big surprise to me, because I've known about Polly's dementia, and I believe John Platten, I believe Greg Williams, that their brain function has been restricted later in life. So I believe all that. So CTE is a major issue. But, I mean, do you ban boxing? Because you probably know that there's a pretty good chance that you're going to have some sort of brain deterioration if you're in that game for a long, long time. No, you don't. You allow people to make the choice that I won't box. So it's the same with footy. The level of risk is lower in terms of getting, you know, your head knocked off. But at the same time, there is still a risk. So you weigh that up before you decide to play the game.